Hello again. These summer mornings, there is a gentle and inviting grace that comes over me when I go out and explore the garden behind the rectory. In the sparkling morning sun, I marvel at the small but noticeable movements of growth within and among the various herbs and vegetables. There are the basil and the rosemary, the peppers and the tomatoes, the eggplants and the squash. And then there are the wild and wonderful cucumber plants with their vines that stretch and cling throughout the garden. It is almost as if the cucumbers act like, well, weeds, as the vines seem to aggressively spread and surround the other vegetables. Admittedly, I have never raised cucumbers before, and so in my naivete, I was not prepared for the breadth and length of their clinging vines. To protect the other plants, I have already had to prune the expansive vines once and will soon need to do so again. Meanwhile, I have happily harvested a dozen cucumbers, enjoyed eating a few at meals, and shared them with others. In reflecting upon today's gospel about the weeds and the wheat from Matthew's 13th chapter, it occurred to me that the cucumbers' constant growth with their aggressively stretching and clinging vines acts rather, shall I say, weedy? And like weeds, they both have life and can attack life. In a curious way, the same may be said about other aggressive life forms, such as bacteria and viruses. In our pandemic world, beset by the COVID-19 virus, it is certainly easy to see the enemy that must be destroyed as we wait anxiously for the development of an effective vaccine by which the virus and its evil effects will be destroyed. And yet, believe it or not, science has shown that viruses have important value. With the proper manipulations, viruses can do a lot more than cause disease. As one scientist has stated, quote, "Viruses give us an opportunity to manipulate particular cells and regions in the brain, even the whole brain," unquote. What's going on is that scientists are beating viruses at their own game. By their very nature, viruses are at the core of life. As small germs capable of replicating only in other organisms, they have the cunning ability to invade and deliver genetic material to normal cells. Consider, for example, when you have a cold. What's happening? Well, a virus has worked its way into some cells in your body and then has hijacked the cell's command center, also known as the nucleus. Once there, the virus instructs your cells in this area to churn out copy after copy of the virus's genetic information. These genetic instructions tell the cells to make more copies of the virus, which go on to infect other cells. Upon recognizing the infection, the body triggers an immune response to fight off the virus. That's when you get fevers and stuffy noses. But guess what? By swapping out genes from the virus that are harmful to the host cells with other genes, geneticists can take advantage of a virus's ability to move from cell to cell and insert new genetic instructions while reducing its ability to cause dangerous immune reactions. However, once the virus is genetically manipulated, it can serve as a cargo for the genetic material that we place in them. And so with the right genetic instructions, viruses can be coaxed to carry information capable of illuminating the inner workings of the brain and delivering therapy. Let me say that again. Through genetic manipulation, viruses have the capacity to deliver therapy. The key, of course, is to manipulate them and beat them at their own game. And this is what the geneticists working on the vaccine hope to do with the coronavirus 19. The vaccine being developed will enable us to beat this deadly virus at its own game. If you will, scientists are transforming the weeds into the wheat. Meanwhile, what do we do as we wait for the vaccine and mitigate the virus's lethal effects? As the parable and its interpretation by Jesus suggests, we need to recognize there will always be weeds amidst the wheat. Or in my garden example, there will always be plants such as cucumbers aggressively evading places and spaces to advance their own survival. So amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, how can we best cope and hope? Well, folks, allow me to offer some suggestions taken from the current issue of the Mayo Clinical Health Letter. This special 8-page report titled Psychological First Aid, Resiliency in the Time of Stress is available on our website through the PDF link adjacent to this homily. I encourage you to look at it. Among the suggestions explained are: maintain healthy habits, stay connected with family and friends, try to disconnect from too much information and decrease your dose of daily negative news, manage your thoughts and avoid catastrophizing, monitor your daily screen time, pick your battles by distinguishing what you can and cannot control, and then also a series of relaxation exercises. Allow me to share my adaptation of one particular exercise described in the newsletter developed by Dr. Amit Sood. Imagine it is the summer of 2025 and you are having some difficulty sleeping. Your mind travels back 5 years to the summer of 2020. You remember the fears, fearing doorknobs, grocery bags, light switches, sneezes, handshakes, hugs, and of course, you remember the wearing of masks. You remember the sadness, the loss of freedom, time with colleagues, the things that you were prevented from attending, events such as graduations, weddings, funerals, birthday parties. You remember the anger at human greed, irrationality, willful ignorance. You recall the grief, sobbing at the loss of fellow beings who breathed their last breath alone in an ICU to the sound of a ventilator. But then you recall that it's not all negative. You remember the love sticking hearts on the windows, spending quality time with loved ones. You remember the kindness, making small sacrifices, giving an extra tip, supporting their struggles. You remember the gratitude, grateful for the gift of food, deep breath, and togetherness. You remember the meaning, coming closer as a family through Zoom, choosing to forgive, working on personal well-being. Yes, you recall also how Zoom afforded you innovative ways of connecting. Coming back from 2025 to today, you are invited now to acknowledge your present fears and convert into proactive actions that help you secure safety. Once you have done that, embrace the splendor of the present and fill it with uplifting thoughts and perceptions. As Dr. Sood concludes, quote, on a peaceful night in the summer of 2025, when you will think about this day in 2020, you might remember the fear and sadness, but I hope you move to love and kindness. You will turn on your side, smile, and lose yourself into the world of your dreams. Unquote. Folks, with this imaginative exercise in mind to help us wait and mitigate amidst the weeds and wheat of life, may we find hope in the labors of scientists and dedicated and heroic labors of the caregivers on the pandemic front lines. Let us pray for them. May we find consolation in knowing that Jesus the Christ is present amidst the viruses, the weeds, and yes, even the aggressive cucumbers of our lives.